Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan KFNS. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas 711 with you. Plow Iggy Master, although Iggy's in the Hamptons. Probably celebrating caddying Cletus to a win and a hole-in-one.
You know? He didn't hit the shot, though, did he?
Good luck charm, buddy.
I think most people remember Fluff more than they remember Tiger in 97 at Augusta.
Oh, I don't know about that.
What about Greller?
I don't even know who these guys are. That's how much I remember them. I don't pay attention to caddy.
Greller, Spieth's caddy. Jeez.
Okay. When Iggy's not here, there's a lack of bacon face references on the text line.
You can send emails in, though, nonetheless. The morning after at InsideSTL.com, Hot Shots email of the day. Hey, TJ Moe is going to join us right here to talk Missouri.
It's time for Mizzou Monday. Brought to you by Joe McCarty's former slot receiver and 590's own TJ Moe.
Underneath, TJ Moe sidesteps a man, gets to the 45.
Made one of the most famous plays in Missouri history.
Left sideline, he's got a seam. TJ Moe to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the house.
And now he's talking all things Tigers.
Missouri, good football team. Those college teams are good, huh?
Thanks to Joe Bacardi's, with locations in Eureka, Webster Groves, Columbia, Benton, and Tapawingo Golf Club. Find out how they can help you with events and catering at joebacardi's.com.
I got to tell you, it's one of those cases when I hear the name of a sponsor and I go, ooh, that treat sounds good. That Joe Bacardi's pizza will pawn your hole. Good morning, TJ.
Morning, Jimmy. How you doing?
Good, thank you, sir. I saw you interact. You and the Colonel during Missouri games right now. God bless your mentions. so you had people saying that it's time for... What were people saying regarding Barry Odom? They wanted him fired, or inevitably he's going to be fired? Because I saw you tweet out something regarding Barry Odom, so take the floor if you would.
Yes. Probably during the game, I would guess I had an upwards of 500-plus mentions. Half of them... We're saying that Barry Odom is Kim Anderson 2.0. Let's not waste the other year. Go ahead and get rid of him now so that we can get Chip Kelly. That is, at least we're being reasonable, you know?
Doug, do you think Chip Kelly's on his way to Columbia?
No, I don't. I think a guy needs a little more than 2 years before he puts his full program into place. But at the same time, you can't be real positive about what we've seen so far either.
No, you're right. I was down with Maurice Drummond yesterday in Channel 4, and
I saw you there.
I had a chance to talk for a while. Yes, Doug and I had a chance to talk for a while there, and you're right. It's not a super positive thing. I think what I'm getting out of, I'm sure you guys saw the firing of DeMonte Cross, the defensive coordinator in name only, because he was the highest paid middle linebacker coach in college football. He's making $600,000, and by the way, they only play three linebackers. There's only one in the middle, so you were coaching one player, the middle linebacker, and you're getting paid $600,000 for it.
Nice gig.
Yes, not a bad gig. And so I think what you're seeing was Odom, his job, like Jerry Pinkel, was to oversee everything. Any head coach does that. A lot of coaches do call plays. Gary Patterson calls plays. You have a lot of guys across college football that will do that. However, I think we saw that he tried to oversee and call plays, and the defense completely fell apart in week one. Everybody saw that. So what he did was, I think he commented and said, okay, I have to focus on only the defense. And then the offense fell apart, and the special teams were abysmal. So I think what he's seeing, and I know the firing, they say, both Dave Matter and Gabe DeArmond have said, it has been, their sources tell them, it's got nothing to do with play on the field. But I find that one hard to believe, because I think what happened was he saw and said, I'm getting no help from my supposed defensive coordinator to the point where I have to put all my attention on the defense and everything else falls apart. I've got to be able to focus on everything, and I need a guy who's going to be here helping me. I just don't think that guy's going to appear this year. I mean, who's it going to be? Ryan Walters would be my guess, but is he all of a sudden going to step up and help the defense that much? I'm just not sure.
And the offense wasn't anything to get too excited about either. What did South Carolina do to keep the Tigers in check?
Nothing. They bruised Demario Crockett's tailbone. That was about the gist of it. He only had two carries in the second half. And Ishwitter wasn't bad, though. Ishwitter averaged 6 yards a carry. The problem was they went away from the run game. They've gotten out of their rhythmic short passing game that for years allowed the quarterbacks to catch a rhythm and get hot. And instead, they did virtually nothing, right? Because they only went deep. I can remember one time where they threw it deep. He threw a couple interceptions, but those weren't deep passes. He threw the one, I think it was to Emmanuel Hall down the right side. I mean, either him or Demetrius Mason. He underthrew him, and they ended up not scoring. They ended up settling for a field goal there because of the underthrow. But, I mean, you had a guy who had DeMario Crockett at 18 carries for 97 yards and basically a half, threw his tailbone, and he was out. I think this is one of the best offensive lines in the SEC, and you're not utilizing them because right now, what we're seeing is Drew Lock is going to pad his stats against the really bad defenses, the FCS teams, the Delaware states, the Missouri states Hornets. of NCAA football here. And then when he comes in and has to play Florida or an LSU, as we saw last year, he's got nothing. So turn around and hand it to number 16 about 40 times a game, and you know, might have a chance.
Do you think Odom will turn it around? I mean, if you were guessing, you know his resume. Do you think he will turn it around?
Yeah, I'm so biased because I love him so much. I'm gonna say yeah, but don't take that for anything more than just my heart because there's nothing that you're seeing out there that says, oh yeah, I mean, this will work. It's all about to come together because that's not true. Because every time he puts his attention to one place, that place improves and the other parts fall apart, right? I mean, he tried to allow DeMonte Cross to run the defense. The defense was awful the first seven games of last year before he started calling plays. Then the defense improved. Then I think at the beginning of this year, he tried to step back, said he was still going to call plays, but he's got to oversee everything. And when he wasn't intricately involved in the defense, they were awful. So he's either got to get a really, really good defensive coordinator where he can just oversee, or I'm not sure how he's going to handle it because as a head coach, you have to be there to clean up every little thing. I can't remember a worse special teams performance than what we saw on Saturday with Jonathan Johnson refuses to catch a punt. When he does try to catch a punt, then he doesn't. I mean, you're supposed to, as a punt returner, I did it for 3 years, you're supposed to scream. There should be nobody on your team anywhere close if you're calling for a fair catch. And you're not loud enough so your own guy gets pushed into you. You fumble. You had three turnovers on the day because Drew Lock threw two interceptions. You just can't win that way. So as a head coach, you got to oversee everything. And I think with DeMonte Cross not being up to par as defensive coordinator, he's not able to do that right now.
Seems like if you're paying assistants $600,000 a year to coach 12 college football games, you ought to be able to get a pretty good one. Is there a scarcity of defensive coaches out there that could handle this without the coach having to worry about every detail?
No, it's not a scarcity. I think he just picked the wrong one. And he picked him because he was familiar with him. You know, he's a guy, Bunch of Cross was a good player. He was second team all Big 8, and then he was second team all Big 12, I think, in 95 and 96 there. He started as a graduate assistant at Missouri before moving around, so there was some familiarity there. And he was just sort of coming into his own. He had a lot of experience, you know, from Missouri to Sam Houston State. He was with the Buffalo Bills as a linebacker coach for a while. He was the co-defensive coordinator at TCU. He was a linebacker coach at Kansas. So he had a wealth of experience. But whatever it was hasn't translated. And from what I've heard, the kids don't particularly like playing for him either. So when you put all that together, it is really hard to whiff on a coordinator as a first-time head coach because then you're seeing the pressure that's on Barry Odom right now. And he, as a new head coach, you're already pressing, right? You want to succeed. And it's your alma mater. So everything's built up. And now you said, fine, I'll do it myself. And as we've seen, that takes a lot of attention away from the other units that are going to fall apart if they don't have your attention.
Now, TJ, I know just in the second year, I know it's early in Odom's tenure, but is it alarming that he's not recruiting the state of Missouri as hard as Pinkel may have? And like I said early, but I think 2017 you had one recruit in Missouri or nobody, and 2018 you only have one in Missouri. Is that Odom's strategy to go outside of the state, or is it just players aren't landing to him?
I think he's trying to get the best players he can. I think the inside the state thing is overstated when the players aren't that good. I think they only had like one offer out last year. That just wasn't a good group. So everybody's saying, what about these kids? That Missouri, and mostly any coach, it doesn't really matter how good rivals think they are. It matters how good you think they are. And as we've seen, there's been a lot of guys over the years. I don't know if you guys remember Andy Maples. He was a four-star junior college defensive tackle, and Mizzou took him, and he was maybe the worst player I've ever been around.
I hope he's not listening.
I'm like, Yeah. Andy Maples and his four stars, he's going to scare you. Nobody's scared of your stars out there. Andrew Jones is another four-star guy that just never panned out.
How many stars were you?
I was three. Yeah. So that's mostly if I suck, who cares? If I'm good, who cares kind of thing. Three doesn't scare anybody either way.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think that's more the point. I think they had one offer out, and they didn't even care if they didn't get him last year. That was what I took away from that. So I think that's overstated to some degree. This class even, Rivals thinks they're really good. I'm not so sure Missouri thinks they're that good. To be honest with you, you talk about the Tiger 10. I can guarantee you, and this is not from the inside. This is not coming from Odom and staff, and I can guarantee you they don't want all 10 of these kids. It doesn't matter how many stars they got behind their name. There is no way that Missouri lines up and evaluates them the same way that everybody else does. Now, they may have, like, a courtesy offer out there because you don't want to have a look that says, oh, Nebraska offered all your kids, and you're not even offering the kids in your own backyard. I get it. But there's ways to make it look like you're trying without really trying to land the kids, because oftentimes coaches will have an offer out there, pay very little attention to them to try to make sure you're not coming, because, you know, you watch them in high school, you say, that doesn't translate, that doesn't translate, that doesn't translate. He's going to be a bust. Don't waste your time.
How is it possible to be in a state with, what do we have, 6 million people or so, every high school mm-hmm. playing football, and there's not any players? There's none?
You know, Doug, if he goes through, my senior year, you guys have all seen me. I'm about the same size as Tim, right? So I'm not super physically impeding. But my senior year, I scored 61 touchdowns and was a player of the year. And that didn't have that much to do with my athletic ability, clearly, because I'm not a great athlete. It kind of had a lot to do with the competition. So when football is just not that big of a deal to you, like it is in Missouri, like it's good. We get our athletes, specifically in St. Louis. We've got a fair amount of athletes. There's a lot of guys in the NFL right now from St. Louis. You're going to have your occasional Sheldon Richardsons and Jeremy Macklins and Blaine Gabberts. But for the most part, the kids are going to look like me, and you hope they work hard and try to be a decent player for you.
You were a good athlete. What are you saying you weren't an athlete?
Well, like I said, I mean, I was the slowest receiver at the NFL Combine. You know, like, there just aren't that many great athletes coming out of O'Fallon, Missouri. We're fine. I worked really hard, and I was able to catch a lot of passes because I wanted to, and I tried hard, and I didn't, you know, waste what little talent I had. But overall, right, I'm not Jeremy Macklin. I'm not Sheldon Richardson. Sheldon Richardson showed up, and he was the best athlete in the room. It took me an awful lot. So my point is not that there aren't kids in Missouri that can't go out and help your team, but probably a group of 11 T.J. Moes out there aren't going to win you any SEC titles. A group of 11 Sheldon Richardsons probably win you a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You'd just think somewhere there'd be some linemen, or just by law of averages, you'd have a few players that the state university would want. I mean, every other state seems to have that.
No, you're right. Missouri really doesn't do bad. If you look around at the, like, over the years, the guys they've landed, Missouri has had some really good athletes, but you miss on a lot of guys too. You know, and that's kind of what with it. There's only one Texas. There's only one California. There's only one Florida. And Louisiana and Ohio both have some athletes. After that, I mean, you go up to, like, Minnesota. If you check their Rivals page, there are five guys in the state with offers. That's not a small state.
Hmm.
You know, you look at Kansas, they got like 10, maybe. Missouri usually has in the 20s. Occasionally you'll have 30, and now that's going down to the kids who get offers from Ball State and Illinois State and stuff like that. But the point is, there's not that many kids who, I mean, you think about it, you're right, there's a lot of schools around the country. But you go look at the Rivals list, Texas will have a top 100. Louisiana will have a top 100. Sometimes they'll have kids that aren't even in the database that have offers to go different places. So it's just, you know, again, how important is football to you? My girlfriend right now is from Southlake, Texas, the same school that Chase Daniel went to. And I was there on a Friday recently, and the town shuts down. Everybody in the city, whether you have a kid or not, goes to the high school football game. We would never do that here. Who cares who's playing in high school? Wait till they get to college, and we'll see if they're any good.
Do it tomorrow night for that Cardinals-Reds mm-hmm. game. Hey, TJ, real quickly, because I know you're big on the Twitter tweets and giving whatever is on your mind at the particular moment. And regarding the NFL, we were talking about this in the 7 o'clock hour here. And that is, I'm certain that a large part of it is what took place at the NFL and the Rams. However, overall, I still put my money on games. I still play DraftKings like crazy, and I will do it again this weekend. But I found myself not remotely interested in comparison to previous years, and I don't really know why. Meanwhile, I'm more and more interested in college football. First question is, how would you describe your interest level in college football and the NFL at this moment relative to where it was, say, 4 or 5 years ago? And, of course, you're coming from a much different place than any of us. And then secondarily, what is your sense among your peers, especially guys who've played the game or are still playing the game, and their interest level in college football and the NFL, and if that trend that we were talking about here is consistent in your world as somebody who played at both levels?
Well, I can tell you the ratings reflect what you're saying. NFL ratings are down, college football ratings are up, and that is even with the hurricane stuff going on. The Weather Channel was up 200% overnight on Saturday night, and college football over weeks 1 and 2, I think it's still up 24%. So the ratings reflect exactly what you're saying, and that is across the country here. And I don't know why exactly. You could call it – people are still calling it the protest stuff because you have guys – like Michael Bennett, who are still sitting down, like Marshawn Lynch, who are still sitting down. I don't really buy that myself because I don't care. And I am somewhat political myself, and I like following it. I like talking about it, and I don't care. And so I would like to think I'm somewhat of a normal human. You guys probably disagree with that. But I don't care who's sitting down for the national anthem. I just want to see if we're going to score a touchdown. But I think the NFL may be recognizing that as well. You guys saw the Cleveland Browns. They came out and walked out with a bunch of dudes they came out of the tunnel with EMTs, they came out with firefighters, they came out with policemen, and during the national anthem, they all stood arm in arm, and I think they're trying to counteract some of that because they had 12 dudes take a knee and circle up in a preseason game, and then they brought in a sergeant to hold up the flag, and he said, I'm not doing that. If you guys want to disrespect me, I'm not going to stand in here and support you. So I think the NFL may be recognizing that to some degree and trying to counter it, at least the Browns owner is. And so that may be what you're seeing. As far as my interest, I like football in general. I've always been more of an NFL guy than a college guy until I got so intertwined with Mizzou. Now I'm more of a Mizzou guy than an NFL guy, but it's probably the same for me, to be honest. And as far as the guys that I know that just love football, we just, you know, on Saturdays we sit around and watch college. On Sundays we sit around and watch the NFL. We try to play DraftKings and all of it. We try to everybody, all my buddies are all playing fantasy football, and you know, we have a pool where we have a pick 'em that's for NFL stuff. So my interest is about the same, but I think the ratings reflect exactly what you guys are talking about.
TJ Moe, brought to you by Joe Bacardi's, every Monday here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Check out that Joe Bacardi's. Oh my word, Doug! They're right there at Tapawinga. Why don't we go out there today and shave some strokes off our game?
Well, I'm pressed for time.
Okay, fair enough. But either way, you can get Joe Bacardi's there, Eureka, Watson Road, in Columbia, Illinois. It's Joe Bacardi's, the sponsor of TJ Moe, every Monday here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Thank you, TJ.
Thanks, I'll talk to you later.
There you go.
All right, thank
Taylor
you, Mosey.
Jacob here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Emails brought to you by Hot Shots coming your way in about 15 minutes. The Morning After at InsideSTL.com. The Morning After at InsideSTL.com. The last couple of weeks, I was doing the show from my basement, and that basement was done by Elysium Restoration and Design, and I cannot tell you how impressed we are with what they did in our basement. Doug, it was, as you know, it was just a bunch of concrete like 3 months ago.
That's what basements usually start out as, concrete foundations. Yeah, it's pretty common.
And you got a couple of beanbag chairs down there now.
I do, and a lava lamp. That's all you threw down there?
Right, you know that.
That's what Elysium does, but they can do more.
Oh, all right.
Elysium Restoration specializes in basements, kitchens, bathrooms, and home additions. Our basement, we just couldn't be happier with it. And I'm candidly, I never expected to be as good as it is. It's just amazing what they were able to do, and they can do the same thing for you. Elysium does quality work and has a track record of completing jobs on time and on budget. They work effectively with any budget, from basic remodels to your dream project. Plus, they do all this while podcasting like the Dickens. Jason started with an idea and a pickup truck, and over the past 20 years, he's seen every type of job. And in that time, Elysium has consistently provided excellent work at a fair price. Get more information at ERDSTL.com. ERDSTL.com. Elysium Restoration. Trust is one of the things they build well.
Do you have built-ins at your house?
I don't know what that means.
Near Carport Village? You know, like bookshelves that are built into the house?
I don't think we do.
All right. No offense.
That's wow. Yeah. Yikes.
Is that going to hurt?
I feel all uncomfortable being in the room with this guy.
Forget he's in the neighborhood with the carports.
Oh, boy.
I don't think that in our neighborhood.
Sure, it's great.
No built-in bookshelves? Good luck to you.
I didn't know that was a thing. I did have Jason increase the insulation in between the basement and the first floor. because when I'm on Pornhub, I don't want Anna Marie to be able to hear it. So you can't hear it.
Well, how loud do you have it? How loud does it have to be?
Yeah, and you wouldn't want to wear headphones because that would restrict your movement. What's wrong with you?
That's something you can ask Jason for, too.
You got a young boy in the house. What's wrong with you?
That's just one of those things you can ask for when you call. Let them know I sent you.
You explain that to the construction guys there? Here's why I need the extra insulation. Hey, it's on the down low, though. That's kind of creepy.
But I mean, it's a cone of silence down there, is what it is. Oh, and I love it.
When your wife ventures down in the basement, she like covers.
She goes down there more than I do.
Uh-oh.
And I kind of got a problem with it.
Uh-oh.
She goes down there.
What's she going down there for?
She goes down there and watches TV. And I'm like, hey, sister. That's what I say. I say, hey, sister.
You don't have a TV in your rumpus room?
We do, but she goes sometimes. You know, she's had a few minutes with the young tyke. And
no, wait a minute. It's a big theater room in the basement, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Enormous theater room.
It's not.
Okay.
But like yesterday, for example, Alexa Strauss wanted to come by and meet Jameson. She was in town for the Join for Joe on Saturday night, and heading back to Columbia, and so she came over. But Anna Marie had been up for, of course, a good portion of the night, and I said, "Hey, come downstairs so we don't wake Anna Marie up."
Oh, really?
And she didn't even know that they were there because it was so quiet. And so that's the byproduct of the extra insulation, which you think was a deviant reason. I also thought about that, but it was mainly the
porn
thing.
Are you taking suggestions at this point?
Sure, yeah.
Maybe get a Foreman grill down there so you can prepare nice snacks for your guests.
Huh? I couldn't recommend barbecuing indoors.
No, it's a Foreman grill.
I couldn't do it.
It's a Foreman grill. You can put some steakums on there or something like that. What can you make with a Foreman grill, Blousy?
Meat products, mainly.
Meat products for your guests.
You'd throw a chicken patty up there and then marinate it post-cooking because I wouldn't recommend...
Marinating on the George Foreman grill.
Yeah, it's the cleaning becomes an issue at that point. What, but yeah, I actually have two. I don't know why I have two.
You have two George Foreman grills.
I do.
You ever use them both at the same time?
Not that blessed, you know, but if I am entertaining, I do have that open concept to where you can see the Foremans as you're watching TV.
Right. So you can let people know where you came from.
Money is no object.
Tim, I just finished my basement, and that is the move. The 2x6 R13 insulation was for me as well. Can't hear a thang. Doug, that's from Scott's Wrinkled Ballsack.
Huh. All right, Wrinkly. And he's right there on the peninsula,
he's
right?
He's on the Illinois Peninsula.
Probably a lot of traffic going up and down the river that he's got to kind of drown out.
It's been a while, though, but there were some accusations that you had some kids in your basement. I would imagine yours is well insulated, too.
Well, it's not very well insulated.
Oh, like a boy dungeon.
I'd need to get my basement redone. I've been wanting to for a long time.
Do it with Elysium, brah. You'd be happy. Holy moly.
I'm sure I would be.
Holy moly.
Oh, I'm sure I would be.
You have built-ins, though, so you're fine on that front.
Not in the basement, but in the rumpus room, of course. Surprise you
it's
even
embarrassing,
ask.
Yeah.
Doug, you were wondering, because I know you like when college football coaches treat the media like...
Yeah, because their lives are so horrible, so hard, these poor college coaches who work for peanuts, $4 or $5 million a year. For a 3-4 month season.
Brian Kelly's Notre Dame Fighting Irish lost by a point at home on Saturday night to Georgia, and he was asked a question if this loss reminded him at all of some of the very tight losses Notre Dame experienced in 2016. Here's the exchange between him and the reporter.
All right, hit the lever, please.
Obviously, you've made a ton of changes, changed the culture, everything. But obviously, you lost at the very end, kind of like last year, 7 of 8 losses.
What's the question?
I'm getting to it.
Get to the question.
How do you keep this from snowballing?
It's
like
not going to snowball. Next question.
What exactly will be different, I guess?
There's nothing different. I go to work every day and I coach my football team.
Not that well.
Is that good enough for you?
Yes, I was just asking about how it was different from last year's losing by one possession.
Okay.
And tonight was also like that, so I was just wondering.
Losing by one possession?
Yes.
No, it was 1 point.
Okay.
Okay, great, thanks.
Lord.
Which, in theory, is one possession, by the way.
That's when you need a Calvin May question to sort of get you back on track.
So would you say the Bulldogs had your number?
What's that?
Doug, Doug was making faces at me in the scrum yesterday, which I thought was very unprofessional.
It's inappropriate.
Oh.
It's inappropriate. It's
very unprofessional because I almost started giggling right in the middle of a serious line of questioning.
Coach, what goes through your mind when you see the ball actually go through the hoop there?
Well, I knew it was good.
That's the tip-off right there when you see that net moving.
Doug, and then also Jim Carrey. You know Jim Carrey from In Living Color. Remember with Keenan Ivory Wayans?
Yeah, I remember him on that. Yeah.
He's also been in some films since. Here he is exchanging
glances
with a reporter from E! News on the red carpet.
Oh, all right. Hit the lever plows.
I wanted to find the most meaningless thing that I could come to and join, and here I am.
Well, they say they're celebrating icons inside.
Celebrating
Do you believe
icons.
In icons?
Boy, that is just the absolute lowest aiming, you know, possibility that we could come up with. It's like icons. Do you believe in icons? I don't believe that you exist, but there is a wonderful fragrance in the air. I don't believe in icons. I don't believe in personalities. I believe that peace lies beyond personality, beyond invention and disguise, beyond the red S that you wear on your chest that makes bullets bounce off. I believe that it's deeper than that. I believe we're a field of energy dancing for itself. And I don't care.
But Jim, you got really dressed up for the occasion. You look good.
No,
I
didn't.
Was that an accident?
I didn't get dressed up.
Who did?
There is no me.
There's no you.
No.
We're not here. This is a dream.
There's just things happening. And there are clusters of tetrahedrons moving around together.
Okay.
Yes.
So what's happening in our world right now? Because there is a lot of news that actually is relevant that's not that
Here's
uplifting.
Here's the thing. It's not our world.
None
that's
of this is
key.
Real?
Nope.
So you're just passing
We don't
through.
Matter. We don't matter.
Oh, wow.
There's the good news.
He's lost it. He's lost it completely. He's had a head injury.
His facial expression during this as well are very alarming. It looks like, I wouldn't say accusing him of drug use, but it did look very off. His eyes got a little wider, and
it looked
she
like
could
he
tell
was
she
serious?
Was very uncomfortable. Oh,
like,
yeah.
He was serious with these answers.
Yeah, it looked like it. I mean, he's a good actor, so it'd be hard to
What
see
do you think his best
was.
Picture was? Liar, Liar? He had that scene in the elevator with... Was it Krista Allen or Kirsten Allen? Krista?
I don't know.
I'm all about Cable Guy. I think that's one of my all-time favorite movies with him in it.
What
so
about
I'll
the Pet Detective?
Ooh, Ace Ventura. Truman Show? Truman Show?
Good one.
Yeah.
Is it good. Laura Linney? Is that Laura Linney?
Also, he had...
Ozark?
I don't know.
Might to get her ass slapped, right?
He Nurse? Played... He had a small role in Godfather 2.
He didn't.
He did.
He played
Hyman Roth.
He wasn't even alive, probably, when the movie
He
was
played
made.
The muscle for Hyman Roth's crew, I think.
Doubt it. I doubt
well,
that.
Well, if you remember when they brought out the cake?
Yep.
And he said, have a piece of cake? Jim Carrey was there waiting
him.
In line.
That's correct. Just like this wasn't Wayne Gretzky that the guy saw in line at
That's
FedEx.
A serious charge. Shaq Lady's coming after you. I'm on Shaq Lady's side. And Bruno Tattaglia, who played tennis.
No, it's Gus Tambles playing tennis. That's all that is.
We have to check the boxes. Godfather mentions got three of them today.
In there.
Doug, do you know anything about 314 Sports? Anything whatsoever?
Well, yeah, absolutely I do. It's a training academy. That's what that is. And it's there in Brentwood, and it's where you go if you'd like to be a better hitter. I don't know. Maybe you're content by watching your kid hit a .170 at the fifth grade level. Yes. You know, then don't go. Stay home. Don't go to 314 training. If you'd like to see him become a good hitter, baseball or softball, maybe get to play for his high school team, maybe beyond that somehow, you're going to have to go the extra mile, and this is the place where you go to do that. Baseball and softball families, club ball finished up for the summer, so the time is now to register for fall and winter training sessions. Slots are filling up quickly for individual small groups of 3 to 6 kids, as well as full team training. Get the whole team in there. I mean, collectively, your team just hit about 212, and they're pitching the ball about 40 miles an hour. You got to be able to hit better than that if you're going to compete at the junior level. If you don't want your team to be a second division club. Now, ages range from 6 years old to high school age for pitching, fielding, catching, and hitting. Don't forget about the hit tracks. A lot of people have been forgetting about that. Don't. A one-of-a-kind baseball simulator that can't be found anywhere else in the area. You hit the ball, you see where it would go in your favorite stadium. Very cool. Sign up now at 314trainingacademy.com, or you can call. I'll give the phone number
go
now.
Ahead. Yeah, now's the time.
Get a pen if you need to. 314. Okay, you got it. 314-363-1110.
Is there a number?
314-363-1110. That'd be the number you call to get in touch with 314 Training Academy. They're on the internet too, so go there if you need to. It's a very cool place. I've been out there myself. Very cool place. Some of the Cardinals have trained there in the offseason. Yeah. That's how good it is.
Oh, boy. Guys, I saw Bono and Barbara Streisand at Ted Drew's on Saturday. They were holding their concretes upside down and laughing hysterically while the person who made their concrete rubbed his nipples.
You didn't see any of that happening. You saw none of it.
This was sent in 12 times, and I thought, I can't believe Tim hasn't read it. So
I didn't see it. Mainly because people were sending in Krista Allen pictures. Doug, here's Krista Allen, who I was talking about. Holy moly cockatoli.
Oh, yeah.
That's the woman who was in the elevator with Jim Carrey before he has done whatever he's done over the last few years.
He's kind of wigged out on us that last interview. I don't think Bab Streisand was at Ted Drew's. I just don't think she was there.
Well, someone said it on the text line.
Right.
And that is what you consider our number one news source.
Yes. Well, the fan page is right. First, because they have broken big stories documented.
So that means every story that gets put on there must be true.
2 + 2 = 4, Doug. It's math.
Mm-hmm.
Learn it.
Well, don't tell me what to learn.
Doug, Jim Carrey's best picture was by far A Streetcar Named Desire. You sound ridiculous. Thanks, Timmy.
It was Marlon Brando. It wasn't Jim Carrey.
I think it was Carrey. He said, Stella.
The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, that creeped me out. I couldn't get through that.
Why is that? Because of a Whoville?
That wasn't Carrey. That was Jan Stenerud.
It wasn't Jan Stenerud, the chief kicker. The whole thing, the costumes, the mouth on the grid, the whole thing creeped me out. I wasn't interested.
That was Vern Den Herder.
Ah, the old... He played for the Dolphins, right? Defensive end?
Doug's the only geezer that gets any of these old sports.
Vern Den Herder.
Doug, yesterday was Tony Romo's first game, regular season game, on a call on CBS. And I have to tell you, I happened to have on the Raiders and Titans when he made an observation about... He picked up a safety blitz before... I think it was the Titans ran a safety blitz on the Raiders and was calling out defenses. It was pretty damn good, but it's an awkward spot because he replaced Phil Simms. So you had this intro yesterday. If you would, take a listen on CBS.
Oh, hit the lever plows. Eh?
Hey, Tony, how you doing? How's that seat feel?
Oh, hey, Phil.
All right, Tony.
Good to hear your voice there.
Phil Simms was right there when they introduced him. What happened? How awkward was that? Was that in the studio, or was one guy at the
Phil
field
Simms in the studio? Tony was in Nashville.
Why did they do that to Phil Simms? I always enjoyed him. I always thought he's very good.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Who's that? Who's that?
Phil Simms.
Didn't sound like Phil Simms.
What are you, a Phil Simms voice expert?
Yeah, I am.
Guys, Ted Danson frequents Hodex.
Oh, right there in the city.
That's great fried chicken, Doug. That is great fried chicken.
That's from Fred Astaire. More from Scott's Wrinkled Ballsack, not his wife. Iggy's date for the Lady Gaga concert. This is Scott himself. I can indeed hear the barge traffic from my house. They also make it hard to get off the peninsula, as we either have to cross a ferry or lift a bridge. It's usually a 15-minute wait if you have to wait on the bridge due to the barge.
Why the hell are you living there?
I didn't know this even existed.
I didn't either. It's got to be a giant flood risk. Every time it rains in Iowa, your house gets covered with water. Why are you going to live on a peninsula?
Apparently, it's a real pony.
And he's got to wait on a ferry to drive somewhere. How many people live on this said peninsula?
I think the Ballsacks proper.
Maybe the Kaskaskia River Monster?
Yeah.
River and Perry Yacht Captain?
Peninsulas are like island life, only you're connected. So
right,
there's a lot
and
of
you're in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Well, this guy said he's got to take a ferry to get to. Maybe it's not so connected after all.
Doug, that heart-tongued broad was doing hurricane coverage for CNN. Thanks, Steve.
Oh.
Kaylee Hartung, who's beautiful.
Yeah.
She is beautiful.
Yeah, cute little girl, yeah.
She is now doing news.
Okay. All right.
Where do we know her from before that she's now doing news?
She was on the SEC Network. She's part of Brent Musburger's team. He now hangs out in Las Vegas and bets on football.
Is he still
publicly
doing that? That show?
Yeah, he does a show from his casino. Well, he doesn't have a casino, but he has a sports book.
Yeah. And sends out... pointed tweets every now and then.
Does he really?
Mm-hmm.
Caller Adam just Facebook DM'd me, and there's nothing I enjoy more than a good Facebook direct message. And he said, I can't get through the call-in line. CMAR is sabotaging me.
Good. Yeah, we don't need Adam.
Yes, we do.
We don't need him.
We need anyone who wants to call in to participate.
Yeah, ours is the kind of show.
Striking. I wanted to rip his clothes off.
Hey.
That was Adam right there. I want to.
Yep. Yep.
You can't get into the phone lines now.
Yep.
It's not all bad. How about we'll call you, Adam?
Mark was, Chilton was calling me from Fort Lauderdale and said he couldn't get through either. So I don't know.
Really?
You know what it is?
So it's not necessarily a shot at you, Adam.
It seems like.
Necessarily.
No one's calling, but what happens is we have so many people want to be part of the show that they cancel each other out.
Blew up the phone register. Yeah. That could well have happened.
People want to share their hot takes about the first weekend of the NFL.
Who's playing tonight?
Saints, Vikings, Chargers, Broncos.
We got to watch Sam Bradford play again.
Is he our quarterback?
He's the Vikings quarterback, isn't he?
Sweet.
Boy, can't wait for that. Possibly the most overpaid player in the history of the league.
I like Sam Bradford. He's kind of hot.
Okay.
That was back when we had a team.
Yeah.
Scattered picture of the times we left behind.
Bradford's beard, it doesn't do it for me.
Joe wasn't high on Bradford.
Captain Checkdown, called him. Doug, they're excited to announce an amazing open house tasting event at the newly remodeled Wine and Cheese Baldwin location located at 14748 Clayton Road on Friday, September 15th. They'll be tasting over 30 exciting spirits, including bourbon, rum, tequila, gin, scotch, and vodka. Wine and Cheese Baldwin has expanded their spirit selection to include 50 more whiskeys to their already large selection. Come check out what is new and taste some great spirits at the same time. Cheers, Doug.
Well, cheers.
That's where it'd be appropriate to say something that you often say, which is inappropriate. Taste me.
Woo! For tasting, you should say taste me.
Okay, I'm not saying that.
But if you're like,
taste me.
Hey, I'm gonna go work out after the show. Taste me, which is like taste what Tim would usually say. That's inappropriate.
Doug, you're going to work out. I'll spot you.
I won't need a whole lot of spotting.
Why not? Is today leg day?
I think I can handle 10 pounds.
Do you work up a nice BO? Lather? A nice BO when you're working out?
I don't sweat much, no. I'm not a sweater.
Why?
I don't sweat much.
You're supposed to sweat.
I don't sweat much.
There's nothing better than when you're in the gym and you get a big whiff of BO from somebody.
No, I'm not a sweater.
It lets you know you're in the gym. You're there to work.
Yeah.
I
got to run off this gut.
You're going on the treadmill.
Yeah, I'll probably take a visit on there.
Work, bitch.
I like the elliptical better than the treadmill.
I like the stars.
Yeah, that's too hard. I don't walk up, sir. I want a ranch. Can't go up and down the stairs.
I felt
anymore.
So pathetic yesterday that on a beautiful Sunday afternoon at like 4:30, there I am at the gym just because, you know, it's too late to go play golf. I didn't want to watch the NFL, and there's like four other people in that monster gym next to us, Gold's Gym. But alas.
I'll bet they were thrilled to see a celebrity in there.
Yeah. Charlie's in there on the regular as well.
Did you sign?
I sign on Sundays because I keep holy the Sabbath.
Right. Okay. Any other day, it's going to leave me be.
Right. People understand that, though.
I don't know.
I'll sign sometimes when I'm walking out, but I say no questions. No questions.
Better be real quick.
No questions.
Yeah, and just scribble something. You don't want to actually be able to see that it says Tim McKern, or they might ask for another one.
I don't have time.
After a superset, do you treat yourself by standing in front of the mirror and kind of admiring what you've accomplished?
Yeah, and I'm constantly pounding protein.
At this gym that I used to go to exist, every now and then, some guys would go and get in bathing suits and pose like they were getting ready for the bodybuilding shows.
So hot.
You were in a bathhouse? What?
It was not a bathhouse. It was the gym that I used to go to. I said, I didn't really need that.
Might have sold you a membership to something that wasn't a gym.
You didn't think that's what it was? Okay.
Bathhouse.
Taste. All right, it's time for the Hot Shots email today.
All right.
Giving away a suspension special at Hot Shots. And let me tell you something about Jay Boyd at Hot Shots. He's the Seve Ballesteros of Hot Shots.
The dashing Spaniard.
This guy's short game is second to none. Him and Mickelson ought to have a chip off.
Well, what did he shoot out there?
I don't know. Nobody. I know Wellington was even. Not surprising. He was rolling in birdies left and right.
Was he?
Pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. Yeah, I don't know what Jay Boyd shot. I would guess 88? 90?
That's pretty good.
I don't know. There was no money on the line, so nobody was really talking scores. But let me tell you something. When he got near the green, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Might as well just pick it up, Jay Boyd. That's what I'd say. Wonderful. Howdy, this morning you got a text saying Illinois is stocking trout. I could explain. Stocking trout is just another way of saying something is very good or really cool. Example, yesterday at Normandy, I got a condor on the par 6 and an emu on the par 7. I was really stocking trout. It was so tway. That comes from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. There are all these languages.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Guys, Pops here. You know, people down south, they're losing everything. Hurricanes destroying their homes, washing away their cities, and displacing millions of people. However, today in St. Louis, we've got people complaining that Snoop Dogg was about 20 minutes late taking the stage over the weekend at Lou Fest, and that his set list was predictable. But you know what? We're a strong city. Our tears quickly dried and turned to roaring cheers because we did it. We broke the record. The record the world has been following for what seems like hundreds of years. The record that tells us who put the most stickers on a bus. I've quite frankly forgotten all about the terror and devastation of the hurricanes. I'm just so damn fired up about the sticker bus. Mm-hmm. When that last sticker was attached over the weekend, people just started screaming and boning. I tore off my clothes and with seconds had two Forest Park Twinks dangling off me like boy leashes.
No.
What a day to be alive. Thanks, Misty Plops, sticker bus correspondent.
Misty Plops, sticker bus
they
correspondent.
They were a sponsor, weren't they?
they were. Was Snoop late, Doug?
I don't know. I wasn't able to go.
Plowhawk, did you go down to Lou Fest, or were you busy getting ready for the Packers Sea Pigeon?
No, my parent came down this weekend. So
and they wanted to see Snoop.
No, I wish that would have been fun. But no, I saw pictures, and it looked like a good time.
Did it?
He was wearing a blue cardinal hat, which I respect.
I did see that.
Morn, hi there. Yes, I'll have the curly fries. Thrice fried, of course. Oh, these seem to be a bit dry and lack seasoning. Will you let me dollop, boy? Let me dollop these fries. Rip off those Hanes Whiteys and just let me drag those spuds through your muddy boy box.
Okay,
like the
that's enough.
Think about it, Donald 1000. And that's a picture of him right there. I didn't know that.
I don't doubt it.
It looks like a lot of the guys in my neighborhood growing up, like a feathered mullet with a mm-hmm. with a thick mustache. Well, I like it.
Tunnel 12,000 just got himself suspended. Suspended period of 2 days' time. Hey, thank you, Hot Shots, for the suspension log. You'll and thank you, Right Business Products. I love the way you brand my ink pen.
Guys, I'm having a fashion show at my loft this weekend for Brent's new line of sleek toy belts. What's a toy belt? It's a tool belt for young toys. For your toys. Take two. It's a tool belt for your toys. Naughty, naughty. Please RSVP. We had to throw away so much egg salad last time. XOXO, Brian in Arizona.
Brian
got a bad read out of me.
In Arizona.
If Brian doesn't win, I think he has to blame me.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to win even with a good read.
Morning, yo. It's been reported that Hurricanes Harvey and Irma are going to cost the United States almost $300 billion. Ouch. Ironically, Harvey and Irma cost me a lot, too. Harvey was a Thai twink boy that charged me 10,000 baht, that's about $300 American, for a passionate night that left me with the herp as a souvenir. That souvenir was all the evidence my ex-wife Irma needed to leave me. She took half of everything, which amounted to $258, half of a single-wide trailer in House Springs, my 95 LeBaron, and my pit bull Spike. I'm devastated, much like my hole that warm Tuesday afternoon in Bangkok. Hug me, Doug. It's from Meat Rocket 8.
Meat Rocket 8? Meat Rocket 8. He's new.
To whom it may concern. While I was out in L.A. this weekend, I decided to catch a Colts game. I'm a big Scott Tolzien fan. He's on both my fantasy teams. My pleasant viewing experience took a turn for the worse midway through the first quarter when an older man in dark sunglasses and a duster sat down in front of me. He spent most of the first half standing up at odd times. This would normally be okay. However, this man had removed the cloth from the seat portion of his duster. His buttock flapping in the wind every time he stood. After Cooper Kupp's first touchdown, he turned his head and said, "Hey there, fella. Ever heard of Bob Tway?" He then pointed his sleeve my direction and deliberately flagellated in my face.
No, he didn't.
He kept muttering to himself, Stan shouldn't have left the Mound City. This Jackie O doppelganger even asked the beer man to sit on his lap and call him Daddy. At halftime, before he went to the restroom, he asked if I knew of any glory holes nearby. It was then I had decided it was time for me to leave. I later found out this loathsome individual is a man by the name of Douglas Elvira Vaughn, who works not only for your show, but for a local news station. I'll be sending a similar email to your local station. I hope you can take appropriate action to prevent this man from disturbing others in the future's bin. Thank you. That's from Peter Dinklage's third leg.
Peter Dinklage's third leg.
Future's bin.
And that's what we have for the Hot Shots email of the day.
I didn't think it was a great batch, so I'm going Bill Pullman. Bill Pullman.
I'll go with a fellow by the name of Brian in Arizona.
You're sympathetic because my read was poor.
Well, I didn't think it was a bad email.
The best email was Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. Congratulations to Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. You have shipped the Hot Shots email of the day at a suspension special at Hot Shots. Get that for lunch at Hot Shots. Suspension special.
Okay. I don't think it needed to be read like that.
It's kind of, it's like if I were on a classic rock station, that would be my voice.
Yeah,
kind of like playing to his bass is what he's doing.
Yeah, I am. I'm playing to the bass. It's time for us to shut it down. Frank's up next. This is the Lion's Choice, famous roast beef hand off to Frank Cusmano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box. For the Plowhawk, for the Seamaster, for Iggy, for my brother Kevin, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn. I'm Tim McCurtain. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.